Now I'm joined in the studio for July's Book Club with Sylvia Kemp. Sylvia contributes to national and regional magazines and online journals. She's a freelance writer and has won the award for Freelance Writer of the Year. She's writes in magazines. She's also got about, is it 11 or 12 books?
10 written ones and about 3 or 4 now ebooks.
Yes, so very, very successful. She's also part of the, are you the head of the Women's Journalists and Writers?
I've just been appointed Vice President of the Society of Women Writers.
Wow, congratulations.
Should have a little badge.
Yes, you should do. So you will have still seen Sylvia as well. She's very well known in Brentwood and Essex, always in the papers for the Brentwood Gazette as well. She's got over 2,000 articles linked to Facebook and Twitter. She's also got a very successful blog as well that's got how many views? 219?
We're coming up to 230 page views. Right,
and that's since last time she was in. So her blog is...
230,000.
Yeah, not 2,000.
Yeah.
Now, we're also joined in the studio today by a guy who's got an amazing voice called Jim Shrub. Hello, Jim.
Hello there. Hi.
There we go. That's the tone we like.
That's mellifluous.
Which is that word you said earlier. And I went, yes. I thought I should just ask to make sure I've got the right meaning.
Yes.
Did you know what that meant?
No,
he does now. He's going to be a journalist.
That's Harry in the background. So thank you very much. We're going to start the show off chatting, of course, first to Sylvia Kent, and then we're going to be talking to Jim Shrub, who is actually a town crier. And I don't think I've actually met a town crier before, so I'd be interested to hear how you got started, and also hopefully you'll be able to read out some of the scroll. Are they called scrolls?
Scrolls, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I even held it properly. I felt quite... Did you see how I unravelled it? I thought I was going to...
We're going to take your photograph in a minute.
Oh, not quite yet. Now, Sylvia Kent, as you know, comes in every month. Been doing the book club here for a good couple of years, and you always bring in lovely guests as well. Now, you do have a lot of readers groups, so tell us about what you're reading at the moment.
Well, first of all, I should say about 650 readers groups in Essex. Mm. You know, we're supposed not to be that articulate and... But really, I think our county has the most. Mm. Done a little check on it, and we're very proud of our readers' groups. And my particular one is in Billericay, and we meet in the library, and they supply the books for us. That's lovely, because with lots of them, you have to go off and buy them.
Yep.
But we're supplied with them. And the book that I'm reading at the moment, it has been out some time, but it's Pat Barker's Regeneration, which is a fabulous book, very sad, very poignant. I'm learning a lot. You learn from everything, don't you? And I've just met my new best friend Harry, who's going to be talking to you later, and he's actually read some Wilfred Owen, because Wilfred Owen is in the book, as indeed is Siegfried Sassoon. So Pat has incorporated these two famous wartime poets within her book. And I've still got a lot of reading to do, but so we're reading that in the Billericay group.
Yep.
But also, you know, we're connected with Brentwood, the Writers' Circle, who are now 75 years old.
Yep.
We're celebrating. Young, yeah. And I've been with them 20-odd years, but lovely. It's a love. And we try to help our members become published. We try to get them to work online. We try to help them in every way you possibly can. Mm. And half our people are published in one way or another.
Yep.
So, we're doing that.
And you've got lots of advice coming up for Harry as well.
Oh, I hope so, yes. Because Harry's at Brentwood School, a school I was connected with and worked with many, many years ago.
Yep.
Super school. And... hopefully he'll pick up a few hints.
Yeah.
I would say also that our Society of Women Writers and Journalists in London have been promoting and doing work. The latest is lovely Maggie Ford.
Yes.
Who is Elizabeth Lord.
Yes.
And you know her very well.
Yep.
As we've taken photographs. But her new book is A Girl in Wartime, back to the theme again.
Yeah.
But she's with a new publisher, so that's a great book. I'm also going to start reading that. And
just with regards to the Society of Women Writers, so now your role has changed, because
it
obviously
has.
You had Victoria Wood, sadly passed away this year, but she was the head of the of the organisation, wasn't
well,
she?
Well, yes, she was, which is such a shock and such sadness to hear about that.
And have you taken over that? Is it, have you taken
No, we're going to have, must have a well-known name. Mm-hmm. I'm not well-known. And that is a very important position.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had Joyce Grenfell. We've had so many famous people.
Yeah.
And we've been going 122 years, you know. I wasn't there at the beginning.
No.
But, you know, it's a wonderful organisation. I know this is being streamed out and they'll all be listening around the world,
yep.
because we are international.
Yeah.
So in the States, they all listen and all over the place. But the book that I'm promoting is called The Church Lads Brigade in the Great War, and is written by another vice president, Jean Morris. And it's a super book, and it looks at the battalion of the King's Royal Rifle Brigade, and it's published by Pen and Sword, superb publishing group.
Yep.
So done my little advert for the books.
Yep. And you're actually doing a book signing yourself today.
Yes, a book about Barking and Dagenham,
yep.
which our guests will probably know. The town, I think you probably know Barking.
I know
Dagenham.
Barking very well, and yes. Dagenham.
Yes.
From my, I grew up in the East End of London. Yep. Born in Forest Gate, lived in Manor Park.
They were posh areas back in the day.
Well, some people called it Manure Park. It was
it
was very high.
You're going to get a lot of that this morning.
Oh, dear.
I'm just
going to mention this is Jim Shrub we're talking to now, who's a town crier. But I thought back in sort of the day, my mum and dad are from Milford, Seven Kings. My mum still lives there.
Yes.
So she would say she was quite posh. But she said sort of Forest Gate, you know, back in the day, it was quite a posh area, wasn't it?
The big houses, which are now converted into apartments, they would have a fairly substantial house, three floors or four floors, and they would have a servant's quarter.
Yeah.
That's how it was, certainly in Forest Gate. Mm. Not quite so sure in Manor Park, it might have been, but they again, there were some big houses there. No, that's totally different now up there. Yeah. I no longer have any ties except to the City of London Cemetery, but there we are.
Now, Jim, tell us about, I've never met a town crier, but I have seen them. So how was that a job that you actually got involved? What did you do before you actually got into that? Did your previous job have any sort of relevance?
No, I started my working career as a 15-year-old in Whitbread's Brewery in the City of London.
Yep.
It was the first ever youth opportunity scheme, and it was for employees' sons. Sorry, ladies, but I was on that. I was one of the first on that, and we learned the business the hard way.
Yeah.
And of course, Whitbread's Brewery in the city is very historic. It's got the second largest unsupported wood span roof in Europe. Go on about it, but I learned the trade the hard way, and then got into various other aspects of the brewing and drinks industry.
So you worked your whole career?
No, not my whole career. I had three lives with Whitbreads and R. White's, which was their mineral water company, and a wine company that Whitbread and Allied Breweries owned together. So, and then I went into other things for a life assurance company and later for an interior design and build company.
Oh, right.
So I've done all sorts of weird and wonderful things.
And how do you know our lovely Sylvia?
How do I know? Well, we met in Billericay over many things, the museum, the activities that I was doing eventually as town crier, and in other ways as well. And we've become very close friends, and that's lovely, you know.
He's so colourful.
Yeah.
I've written so many articles about him. And we wrote about him for, was it last year's Essex Life?
Yes.
Where Jim was the copy? right up the front there in all his wonderful red costume.
Yep.
I mean, you have to see it to appreciate it.
I have actually seen the pictures, and we will post some of them up on the website as well. And you've got a copy there of
The ruffles and the hat, and he has these white tights.
Yes.
Oh, right, there we go.
That's one picture there.
Oh, right. Right in the middle.
Yes.
Very nice.
Always
very
get
grand.
Him in the middle.
Very, very grand. So tell us, we will. What I'm going to do is take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk exclusively to Jim, and I want to find out loads of details, especially about the outfit and how you got into it, and also, Harry, you might come in with a couple of questions as well.
Yeah.
Harry's looking at me looking very nervous now, but don't you worry. Right, so we're going to do a quick little bit of music. This is actually the Monkees.
Now they, oh, lovely.
Now, is this, yes. They've actually got a new album out.
No.
Really?
They have. It's not with Davy Jones, because obviously he passed away a few years ago, but it's still Mickey, Peter and Michael, and it's their first original song since Davy Jones died in 2012. Gosh. And it's been written by XTC's Andy Partridge, and is taken from their new album, The Good Times, which is the band's first album in 20 years.
Yes.
So you can tell me how much you like it or you don't after this.
Right.
Lovely.
Okay. Good.
And you were saying that you've actually been a drummer as well.
Yes, and not in a professional sense, but doing charity gigs and organising festivals as well. So,
yep.
But my son followed in, well, one of my sons followed in that profession and did quite a lot of work. So,
I was going to say, with how did you get into becoming a town crier? I mean, was this something that happened? How many years have you been doing it?
Right. Okay. Well, it started in 2001.
Mm.
The Rotary Club of Billericay Mayflower were organising their summer fair thing that they had at that time on Sun Corner, and they asked a friend of mine, a chap named Royston Wren, lovely guy, and he was a Toastmaster, and they asked him if he'd be town crier for this event, and he said, just because I wear a red coat, don't think I'm doing that, or something to those effects. And I said, oh, you got any ideas? And he said, well, I know a man who will. And that's the polite version.
Yeah.
So they said, would I do it? And I said, yeah, but I haven't got an outfit. I said, well, you find an outfit and we'll pay for you to hire it. So I went round the charity shops and all the fancy dress shops I could find. And I couldn't find anything at all. So I went out as Challenge of the Day on a radio programme. Somebody from Halstead phoned up, who in fact I knew from my time in the East End of London, and they said, she said that there was a place in Earl's Cone, so I went out to Earl's Cone and hired this outfit, and it started from there. It was only supposed to be a one-off. I looked a bit like Blind Pew because it was a very sunny day, and I had tinted glory plain tricorn hat, and I had an outfit which was a good sort of standing, but it wasn't quite the thing, but it obviously did something, because I took two other jobs that year, one for the Mothers Union for their 125th anniversary, and another one for the Rotary Club for their Christmas event, so their Christmas festival. So it started from there. I've done something like about 400 and some odd jobs since June of 2001.
Yep.
And that includes talks and events like with you today, but it also includes, I do commercial town crying now as well. I promote things.
Can I just ask where it actually comes from? How is it? What century did it actually start crying with, and why was it?
Right. Well, people don't understand this side of it, but I am the forerunner to journalism.
Yeah.
Me personally, because I'm not that old. <I'm>
Right.
But if roots, we were topical newscasters.
Yes.
If you trace back the roots, you actually trace them back to the Grecian runners, who mainly went out telling about wars. Or you went back to the Egyptian heralds. Of course, one of the earliest town criers, in my opinion, is the Archangel Gabriel, who had a message to give.
Yeah.
So there, 1272 written evidence in Norwich of a town crier. So really, you see, you have to also realise you've got all this technology in front of you. And young people like Harry here, they've got iPhones and all these other things and iPods and whatever you say today will be around the world in seconds.
Yeah.
But in those times, people couldn't even read or write.
Yeah.
And so our job was to go out into the marketplace and read out the news. And some of it would seem silly today. I got some information out of the Billericay case, where in fact you've got the bell from one of the previous town cross, Thomas Gentry and Arthur Barfield, come out of the shop above what was the co-op, of any substance had a town crier, and they will go out into the marketplace at regular times during the day and give out the local news. And I say, there's one saying from forget the amount of money, but it was for the return of a fair-haired woman of 30, believed to run off with a lodger or some such thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, they sound silly today,
yeah,
but in those days, yeah, that was the news, yeah, and that's the way people got their news. You get some expressions from that as well. Don't shoot the messenger.
Mm.
That comes from the fact that we were the king's messengers, and therefore, if you attacked us,
yeah,
you were attacking the king,
yeah,
and therefore you could be hung, drawn, and quartered.
Yeah.
I wish it was true today.
Yeah.
and also, you know, there's a lot of newspapers called The Post,
yeah,
and that was because once we'd written our scrolls, so we used to write our scrolls, and then once we'd read them out in the marketplace, for those who could read all right, we used to nail it to the door of the post, the in-post door,
yeah,
and that's posting a notice. So that's why you get this thing of The Post.
So the ones that you read out now, if you're doing an event, do you actually script them yourself, or are there certain ones that you read out that are historical?
Some are scripted for me.
Mm.
Others I script myself.
Mm. Yep.
And I'd like to say I wrote them all, but in the sense I'd use a pen and a quill and a ink, but in fact I use computer, but I do it in a way that... and I like alliteration, like... Yes. I do John Barron, our MP in Billericay, he does a fun walk, and I set that off, and I set them off on there. Proceed on your picturesque perambulation. and the other thing that I like to use a lot is that very often I've got a large crowd of people before me, so I come out with this pleasing plethora of phantasmagoria I see before me, which means a large crowd of people.
A mob.
Excellent. Would you be able to give us a ring of two of them now? Would you be able to do that?
Yeah, by all means. I don't know which ones. I've got so many here, but I've got certainly...
Pick out two. It's just going through all the scrolls. We've got a bag of scrolls. Look at that.
Bag of scrolls, yeah.
Bag of scrolls. It sounds like it was actually something to eat when I think about it. Like that.
Yeah,
it's not.
Painful, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't I read out the one for the... we did recently. I went up to Buckingham Palace.
Mm-hmm.
I went up to Buckingham Palace.
Yep.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can. It's fine.
Recently for the Queen's birthday. We
yep.
know she was in Windsor. But the Loyal Company of Town Criers, of which I'm a member, I'm a professional town crier.
Yeah.
I'm covered by £5 million worth of public liability insurance.
Yeah.
You'll be pleased to know that. And we say, oh yay, which means hear ye, hearken, or listen. Or come here, you lot. This proclamation was read out by our secretary, and then when I came back to Billericay in the evening for the lighting of the beacon, I read it out there, and I've read it out several times since. But this was a scroll that we read out, or was read out, for the Queen's 90th birthday, and we read this out outside Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
And being, I would say it's more like government, we do everything in triplicate. So
right.
Oh yay! Oh yay! Oh yay! May it please your most gracious majesty that we, the members of the Loyal Company of Town Criers, as your most humble and obedient servants, do hereby make the following proclamation. At 2:40 a.m. on Wednesday the 21st day of April 1926, at 17 Bruton Street, Mayfair, unbeknownst to the nation of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, the member countries of the Commonwealth, and all colonies affiliated to the throne, there took place the birth of our future sovereign, Queen Elizabeth II. As you celebrate your life of 90 full years, let every loyal subject be reminded of your influence, your graciousness, and your impact upon our lives. May the congratulations from each and every loyal personage demonstrate the affection in which you are held, as we wish you, our most regal and sovereign Queen, a joyous and happy 90th birthday. Let us all unite loudly and proudly, proclaim together, God save the Queen!
I've never seen so many people jump in the studio at once. What a voice. And what's the next one you're going to do for us, Jim?
What sort of thing would you like?
Any. Pick out anyone that you want. See, you've got to have that voice. See, the thing is, you thought Jim might be having a little bit of a subtle voice, and as soon as he went into his town crying, boom! Straight out there,
yeah.
Projects his voice very, because obviously they didn't have PA systems or microphones or anything like that, so you had to be heard right the way across squares, didn't
this
you?
This might be appropriate. Mm-hmm. We were doing in the reading rooms in Billericay for the, now what's this one? This is the one for the, gathered here for the, sorry. Yeah, this was to do with the reading rooms in 2014.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of information about it, but it talks about the reading. So here we go. Oh yay! Oh yay! Oh yay! Good citizens of Billericay, on this the 7th day of March in the year of our Lord, 2014. By the way, I wrote this myself from words that I picked up, which I hope are appropriate.
Right. So.
It gives me great pleasure as a Billericay town crier to see so many of you gathered here today, from the young to the young at heart. This pleasing plethora of phantasmagoria I see before me. On behalf of Keith Wood, Chairman of the Trustees of the Reading Room, we welcome John Barron, MP, Kate Brown, representative of the Heritage Lottery, and Danny Lawrence, Deputy Mayor of Basildon Borough. We are also delighted to have the esteemed head teachers of four schools, Battsbury Junior, St John's, St Peter's Catholic Primary, and Quilters Junior School, to celebrate with us the 150th anniversary of the official opening of these magnificent reading rooms here in Billericay High Street. It was in this day in 1864, the local squire, Major Thomas Jenner Spitty, with his associative friends, found the Billericay reading rooms to educate the working classes and to aid the growth of improvement of the common man. Excellent ideals. The reading room in their present glory are indeed a gem of local and social history of our historic town, so generously left to the people of Billericay to enjoy. We take this opportunity to thank all the trustees, volunteers, and those who have supported the reading rooms in so many ways over the last 150 years. Now we enact the official opening and invite Keith Woods to open proceedings, followed with John Barron will cut the celebration cake. Let's us celebrate the Reading Room's 150th anniversary by giving three good cheers. Hip hip! Hip hip! Hip hip! God save the Queen!
So we've just heard some town crying there from Jim, and you've got a question, haven't you?
Yes, I was just going to ask, what events have you got lined up as town choir?
Well, my very next job is this coming Sunday, and funnily enough, we've already mentioned the fact I started with the Rotary Club of Billericay Mayflower. So this Sunday, the Billericay Mayflower Rotary Club, they have their summer fest on Sun Corner, and I will be there to promote it. So it's there from 11 till 5, there's a plug for them. Rotary do a fantastic job, whichever Rotary Club it is.
Yep.
And the Mayflower Club, my home club as it were, I'll be there promoting it on the day and going around chatting to the stall holders, promoting the stall holders, and doing whatever I can. And I enjoy it. If it's like this, I don't mind. My outfit is very, very heavy.
Yeah.
But it's the best diet aid I know. I lose lots of weight wearing it.
Now, if you do want to book Jim for any events that you've got, you can email Jim. It's jim.shrub@hotmail.com. And I will put the details up on the website. But thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming in today and doing your reading.
Thank
Made
you.
Us all jump.
Yes.
What a
yes.
voice. And also thank you very yes. much to Sylvia Kent. And you're going off to a book signing.
Oh, yes. Yes. This afternoon. But once you bring a book out, you're for about a year or two, you're out there signing
yeah.
wherever.
Yeah.
Not huge things, but the managers like you to come in, sign the books they have.
Yeah.
And it's just an added thing when someone buys a local book, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Poor old Jim's got several of mine, and he's in them.
Yes, well, you've written a lot of books, and we're hoping we're going to get maybe a few more out of you. I know you keep saying, maybe not.
No.
She says that.
No, journalism is the thing, and that's what Harry wants to do. So.
Yes.
You know, we'll work on that, I think.
There you go. You bet the right the lady, you see.
Yes.
Sylvia is the knowledgeable one, so that's that. And you're very lucky she's coming on the week you're here.
Isn't that strange?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fate, you see.
Fate, yes.
There we go.
Yes.
So thank you very much to Jim. Thank you very much to Sylvia. And we'll be back in the studio again next month.
Always a pleasure.
Never a chore.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Michelle.
And thank you very much to Jim with the most amazing voice. And don't forget, if you do want to find out more, all you need to do is take a look at the website and Jim Shrub, the town crier. And it's jim.shrub@hotmail.com. 12:05, let's catch up with a little bit of music. And